The information included in this podcast is for informational purposes only. Nothing discussed here is intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, and never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you heard on this podcast.
Hello everyone, this is Victoria Porter. I'm a licensed clinical social worker. You're listening to the Healthy Hot Springs podcast from the Razorback Campercell Studios. Health is our most important asset, and on this show, I sit down with local health professionals to discuss opportunities and strategies for you to get healthy hot springs. Today in the studio, I would like to welcome Adam Mason. He's a licensed professional counselor at Refuge Counseling of Arkansas in Arkadelphia. Adam has been in the studio before, so thank you so much for coming back. I love the topic we are going to discuss today. I'll let you introduce that.
Sure. Hey, Victoria. Thank you so much for having me back in the studio. Excited to be on the show again. This is a really important topic to talk about, and we're going to be talking about some of the challenges that men face when they're considering going to therapy. And, you know, I end up working with a lot of men personally because, you know, a lot of times men are more comfortable talking to men and
true.
So, that's what we're going to talk about today, and I think that there are some really important insights that might come out of that.
Well, I'm going to share just a couple of statistics. We were trying to decide if I was going to do this, and I think it'll be helpful. This is from the CDC, and these are a little bit old. 2019, 19% of adults sought treatment for mental health. Now, that also includes medication only, not just therapeutic services. And mm-hmm. I think that's an important mm-hmm. Distinction. But of those, we can break it down age-wise. 20% are age 45 to 65. 21% are age 18 to 44. 19% 65 and over. There was a 2% increase in 2021. From 2019, but I couldn't find any like specifics on those. But of the people that come, basically 1/4 of the people who seek treatment are men. So 25% of those, you know, the percent that go and seek treatment, only 25% of those are men. So of course that leaves the larger majority of women who seek mental health services. And I don't know about you, but I find that statistic to be true in my practice.
I see that a lot too. I think it's so interesting. A lot of the men that I see coming into my practice, it's because their wives or significant others have put some sort of ultimatum on them.
Right.
And don't get me wrong, I've got several men in my practice that do want to be there, but I think that the larger majority is a little resistant when they first come.
And I think we have to speak to that when we think about men in therapy, because therapy works if you want to do it. If you are resistant to the therapeutic process, it's probably not going to work mm-hmm. very well for you,
right,
correct?
Right. Absolutely. Well, and I think that's why it's so important to find the right therapist for you.
Oh, yes.
Because if we can't establish that trusting, safe, confidential kind of relationship that is going to clearly not be judgmental or critical, but just speak truth and have that openness, then you're not going to open up. I mean, whether you're a man or a woman.
Right.
But I think especially for men, because men struggle a lot of times, just in general, and of course we're talking in generalities, and so this may be more true for some than for others, but what I've seen is in general, men don't fully know what to do with emotions. We all face them. We all have emotions. It's part of our genetic makeup as human beings.
So it sounds like you're saying it's almost like men are trying to not be emotional beings, or perhaps it's not that they're trying not to. It's just this society or the way that we're raised.
Sure, sure, exactly. There are a lot of social pressures, I think, on men, and that starts from early on. Just the idea of what does masculinity look like, and you know, there's this kind of idea that goes around that if you are emotional in any way, if you share those emotions and you don't withhold them, then you are somehow weak. And weak seems to be contraindicated to what we think masculinity should be.
So it's kind of a negative trait.
Right.
For men. Assumed. It's, you know, we're speaking here kind of in this, like you said, kind of this general idea of what society feels that men are supposed to be.
Right. And so the way that I think about that, though, is that being able to be genuine with our emotions and to be able to recognize where we really are, it's actually not a sign of weakness at all. It's a sign of knowing yourself. Yeah. It's a sign of being more of a whole person.
Becoming your authentic self. Right,
right. Yeah. Right. Because the truth is that however you see us coming to be, part of our makeup is emotional. And if we drown out that part, then we miss a huge part of who we are and the human experience.
So in your practice, do you have many men that kind of come in on their own? So you do mostly couples therapy?
I do a lot of couples therapy, absolutely. And that's, for me personally in my practice, we have a couple other therapists that do other kinds of things too. But for my personal practice, I tend to do a lot of couple work.
Okay.
Which gives me a great insight into kind of how men and women tend to function in that environment. But I do have a lot of men that will come in. But usually it's after they've come in with their wives,
okay. And
then they realize that therapy is useful, and then they decide, okay, hey, maybe I could benefit from some of this on my own, too.
Well, and I think you have to, right, we said about this, the therapeutic relationship is so important, that you're comfortable with your therapist. But apart from that, I think you do have to give it a little bit of time,
sure.
Right? It does, those first, even for therapists, those first couple of sessions, you know, we're building rapport and getting you comfortable and, you know, making you feel comfortable with this process. Mm-hmm. So, you know, don't bail the first session, right?
Such an important point, Victoria, because I think that a lot of times men are very outcome oriented.
Okay.
And so whenever they come into therapy, they want a 3-step process to how do we fix the situation so we can move on to other things.
Okay.
And so when you come into therapy, if that's what you're looking for, I mean, you could read about that in a blog.
Yeah.
Therapy goes deeper than that, right? I mean, and it's a process. There's a process there. Coming to the way that we think about things was a process. And coming to a different way of thinking about things is also a process.
But don't you think that that's kind of part, that uncomfortable feeling of, you know, perhaps looking at emotions that maybe you haven't really looked at, that's going to make you uncomfortable.
Of course.
And some men might be like, don't really want to do this, right?
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. And so I think that this is where, even in therapy, we have to talk about the discomfort is not a bad thing. It's an opportunity for growth. Why would you not have that discomfort? Especially when you've been taught your whole life that
emotions are
not okay, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, with this being said, I think it's important for us to identify that a lot of men will say, you know, I experience anger. Okay.
That is an emotion.
And I hear this a lot with even from a wife's perspective of, well, yeah, my husband gets angry all the time. Okay. I'm not saying the men don't have emotions, right? I mean, anger is an emotion. However, when we go a little deeper, anger is usually what is actually seen. But there's typically some sort of sadness or some sort of disappointment or some sort of
insecurity
or jealousy or something that holds that anger up.
So a term that I often use in grief therapy is you cannot heal what you don't feel.
Okay. Yeah,
and,
I like that.
And that's the basis, I think, of the therapeutic process, right? Mm-hmm. The anger, it sounds like you're saying, is truly an avoidance of the other emotions. And the things that we do to avoid our emotions are typically worse than dealing with the emotion itself. And I'm thinking of, you know, these kind of habits that we may be starting, even like, you know, drinking or scrolling on our phone, you mm-hmm. know, all of those mm-hmm. things that we do to just kind of, you know, zone out and not have to deal with our emotions.
Well, and so I can definitely see how we would use that as an avoidance strategy. And then I can also see how, like you said earlier, the emotion that is felt is uncomfortable. And when we are in discomfort, we want to alleviate that discomfort.
Right.
And anger feels more powerful than sadness or grief. Because if I'm angry, now anger is motivating. There's energy behind that. I can do something about it. I can change my situation. But the problem is that if we don't actually acknowledge what the true base emotion is, then we can't really attack it the way that it needs to be attacked.
And that's very difficult if you have been taught maybe by your dad that boys don't cry.
Yeah.
In school, you were maybe picked on or made fun of if you were emotional. So
mm-hmm. right.
years and years and years, you've kind of had this instilled in you that that's a bad thing.
Sure, sure. And then another part of this, I think also, is especially men that are family men, that there's this felt obligation to protect other people. I also have done quite a bit of work with first responders and military mm-hmm. personnel, people that are kind of geared in their personality to protect. And so sometimes I think that men have this idea that if I share my pain with someone else, now I'm a burden to them.
Mm-hmm.
When really what I want to do is protect them. And so somewhere in there, I think that men forget that as humans, sometimes we need a little bit of support too.
Well, and that's why the therapeutic relationship is so important. Because you get to talk to someone who's really impersonal and objective, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can talk about things that perhaps you're embarrassed to talk about
sure.
with someone that you know.
Sure.
It's the relationship makes it so perfect because of that, because you're not going to honestly tell your wife maybe, you know, perhaps something that has upset you.
Sure.
Or you're afraid of, or, you know, if you're stressed about, I might lose my job, right? Yeah. Sometimes you don't want to share those things with people you love because you really are trying to protect them.
Right. Now, it's interesting because when I'm in couples counseling with people, that moment when that man actually does get vulnerable in front of his wife with these kinds of things that he's carrying these burdens. There's not a man out there that's not carrying some sort of burden.
Right.
And then whenever the partner sees that, they say, oh, wow, this is what I've been longing for. Now, the man over here the whole time is thinking, well, I'm protecting them from that.
Right.
And this is a good thing. When the partner is saying, yeah, but I really wanted to walk through life hand in hand with you.
Connect on a deeper level.
Right.
Yeah.
And so then all of a sudden now we've got this vulnerability that may not have been seen much before. And then all of a sudden the partner comes alive. Because I say, hey, now we can walk through this together, and there's something special about that. There's this incredible bond that develops, this incredible level of intimacy that develops through sharing in that hurt and sharing in that pain.
Yeah, you really have to go through to become those true partners in life, right? You really have to go through this stuff together.
Absolutely. I mean, that's really what develops the connection. Mm-hmm. Because it's something that we share that nobody else gets to be a part of.
Yeah.
And there's something special about that. Absolutely.
Yeah. And seeing a therapist can help facilitate that relationship on a deeper level. Absolutely.
Well, I think this is where it's really important to recognize that relationship you were talking about with the therapist, being non-judgmental, being a non-critical, unbiased person. Because there's a lot of things that men deal with that might be seen as embarrassing. You know, I've worked with several men around porn addiction and those kinds of things that can really create a lot of problems in a marriage.
Yeah.
And you don't want to just go tell everybody I'm dealing with this issue.
Yeah, and I can see how that is a situation where a man might feel more comfortable speaking to another man.
Absolutely.
You know, than a female therapist. Yeah. So, again, that relationship is so important between therapist and client.
How many steps do you take if you have a rock in your shoe? Not many. Well, if you have to walk on a prosthetic leg that does not fit, it is like walking with a rock in your shoe. Although there are many innovations when it comes to prosthetic feet and knees, the comfort of a prosthesis begins with the fit of the socket. Michael Kenny is a certified prosthetist who has been walking on a prosthetic leg since he was 16 years old after losing his leg to a motorcycle accident. He is committed to fitting prosthetic legs so they are comfortable, intimate, and optimize ease of walking. Motility Prosthetics has been in Hot Springs since 2015, but Michael Kenny has been building legs for over 25 years. All fabrication is done on site. There are no delays from having to ship to a fabrication house. Adjustments can easily be made on the spot. Motility means the spontaneous ability to move. At Motility Prosthetics, we want you to be able to walk on your prosthetic leg with a sense of spontaneity. Call for a free consultation, 501-620-4800.
Address, you know, we were kind of talking about society can make men feel like they're not able to share their emotions and be in that vulnerable space. And most people, especially if you're going to see a therapist during the day, you have to have some kind of acknowledgement with your employer or perhaps your insurance.
Right.
And a lot of men are not comfortable doing that, correct?
Right. Especially if they work in a masculine dominant kind of environment, maybe a blue collar kind of job or something along those lines. I mean, I can understand how it would be very hard for a man to go to his boss and say, "Hey, can I take an hour off because I got to go to therapy?"
Yeah.
And then just that fear of what is this other man in my life thinking now?
You know, it's so interesting for me because, you know, I'm a grief specialist and that never happens after, especially after a traumatic loss. You never have, because I, you know, I have men who come in and and they're encouraged by everyone in their life to come to grief therapy. So it's interesting, even what's going on in your life can impact how open you are to the therapeutic process and talking to people about it. I think there, you know, whenever you've had a loss, there's an immediate support system and people see that problem.
Right.
But men are carrying, you know, all of these problems. They're not as visible all the time. It's the same. And men aren't supported in that way for just kind of traditional therapy, we'll say.
Yeah. Well, it takes an incredible amount of humility to tell somebody, "I'm struggling."
Yeah.
You know, and I think that that's part of what makes it scary is if I allow myself to have that kind of humility, then I feel like I'm less than in some way.
Well, yeah, I think that, well, it's COVID. It changed everything with mental health, right? A lot more people, I think, are in a place where they know they need some help of some kind. I think people are more accepting of that. But also with the telehealth services that are much more available, it seems like In your experience, do men seem to do telehealth more, or?
You know, I really have not seen necessarily a lot of change in amount of men that have come in since telehealth. But I think that one thing it has created is another option for that confidentiality. Because a man could take a lunch break and go out to their car and log in on a video chat with a therapist by phone. I think that also one thing that came out of COVID is a little bit of a destigmatization, if you will,
for sure,
around mental health.
Yeah.
Because COVID had an emotional impact on, I guess, really everybody that was influenced by it, which, I mean, that's all of us. And so, you know, I think that we are kind of changing and softening as a society towards the idea of mental health and recognizing that probably every human being could benefit from some counseling at some point.
Yeah.
Men included.
Probably especially men, don't you think?
Well, I think so. There sure are a lot of pressures, especially with some traditional gender roles and that kind of thing. And this mindset, again, that we've talked about of we don't really necessarily as men have a safe place to share emotions. And so having a safe place to be able to explore that half of who we are as humans seems pretty important.
I love that. The safe place to express yourself and be vulnerable and really kind of learn how to tap into those emotions.
Absolutely.
Because if you haven't been doing that your entire life, it takes some work.
Sure, sure. And, you know, I've worked with a lot of men that talk about feeling numb, either feeling numb or feeling angry. And I think that it's because as a way of existing, they kind of turn the volume on their emotions down a lot. Because they did feel things previously. At one point, they felt a lot of things. And if that wasn't socially acceptable, then we just turn down the emotions. Or if it felt like the emotions got in the way of being productive, then we can't do all of the things that are on our plate that we're responsible for because it feels like we're just being emotional. Well, once we come to terms with those things, then I think it's much easier to be productive in all areas of life because now it's not just this pressure that we carry around with us that we can't deal with.
Well, I think that whenever we talk about this avoidance, right, one of the things I always say is whenever you pick up your phone or, you know, the bottle of whatever it is or, you know, for some people it's just potato chips, you know. I don't know what that looks like for you, but whenever you're starting to feel that feeling of I don't want to deal with this, so to help myself feel better, I'm going to do this avoidance behavior. And I always say, what is the emotion that you don't want to feel?
Mm-hmm.
Right in that moment. Mm-hmm. I think that's really the first step, tapping into your emotions. If you find yourself reaching for that avoidance behavior, just think to myself, what is the emotion that I really don't want to feel right now?
And you know, I think a lot of times, if somebody were to be completely honest, they might say, I don't really know.
Yeah.
And I think that especially early on in therapy, that's got to be okay.
Yeah.
You know, that I'm not really sure what that is because I don't know that I've ever really been asked to think about that.
Right.
And so that's okay. You know, I think that that's part of the beauty of therapy is we can just be in the moment with each other and it's all right if you're not sure exactly what you're feeling in that moment.
What's a just kind of a simple something from a, you know, a male perspective that you could do to help yourself feel better today?
Just as far as if you're kind of feeling down or feeling the pressures of life kind of thing?
Yeah, just kind of the pressures of life, maybe, you know, anxiety related with everything that men are dealing with. And your experience, you know, something that men would identify with.
So things that create change. Like one of the things that I've been working on with some of the guys that I know is even just doing some deep breathing. And I know that it may seem silly, but it changes the way that the brain mm-hmm. processes things when we take in more oxygen.
And I just want to say that breathing skills are taught to Navy SEALs. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there's your masculine side of deep breathing, sure. right? I mean, you know, even in it, at all levels, deep breathing is taught to help calm our system.
Well, you know, I was talking with a gentleman just the other day, and he's got military training. Mm-hmm. And I say, what does the military teach about even shooting a firearm? There's breathing exercises mm-hmm. that go with that to steady yourself. And so if you're feeling that stress, that anxiety, being able to step away from it and taking a few slow, deep breaths in through the nose, out through the mouth, filling up the lungs to full capacity, and just blowing it out. I think about like blowing through a straw mm-hmm. and just keeping it nice and steady, because there is some personal level of control in the way that you control your airflow. Plus, you're getting more oxygen to your brain. It chills out your amygdala mm-hmm. so that you can start to kind of clear the fog or the haze in the way that you're thinking, so you can slow yourself down and think about things a little bit more rationally.
Box breathing is something that you can Google.
Okay.
It's a great term for kind of that calming your physiological system.
Mm-hmm.
So listeners, Google box breathing. You will find a lot of information there about calming your system. I am a lover of nature.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredibly healing. Sometimes if you get a break during the day, just step outside. We're blessed to have some of those rare 70-degree days in mm-hmm. January mm-hmm. where the sun is shining. Take advantage of those,
yeah.
right? Go outside and take a breather, get some sunshine, get that vitamin D flowing.
Well, that's what, you know, I work in town in Arkadelphia. And so from time to time between sessions, I'll just go take a walk up mm-hmm. and down the street or
yeah.
There's a little coffee shop just about two blocks away from my office. I'll just walk
great.
Over and get a coffee or something. And I think that it's a great idea to even just change your environment mm-hmm. for a few minutes.
Yeah.
Get a little extra sun.
And you know, these are just basic. This is not if you're in, you know, deep depression or anything
sure.
like that, right? But I think that you were talking about men and, you know, kind of this task-oriented, you know, we're going to come and do these steps and be finished, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think it is important that a lot of times in counseling, I feel like people think that there's going to be like this aha moment where I'm going to feel all better.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't work that way. It is over time where you're making choices to do things that help you feel better
mm-hmm.
versus things that help you feel worse.
And there may be some moments through the therapy process where you have an aha moment where
yeah.
you're thinking, oh, wow, that's new insight. That's new information. I didn't think about that before.
Yeah.
And that might prompt you to make some changes in the way that you handle things.
Yeah.
Right?
The therapeutic process, you know, you're with us for an hour a week.
Mm-hmm.
The work is done in all of those other hours during the week.
Sure.
You know, that's
sure.
where you are the one that has to make the change. Nothing changes if nothing changes.
That's right. Right. You keep on doing the same thing over and over again,
yeah.
expecting different results. It just doesn't work, does it?
Yeah, it for sure does not. Well, Adam, thank you so much for coming in and talking about such an important topic. I hope we have some men who this resonates with them and they will make the decision to, you know, seek a therapist that you have a good relationship with. I know I offer a free consultation.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like most will if you...
All of our therapists do. In fact,
yeah.
we even have a therapist that works after hours and weekends, too, if there's a need for that, if scheduling is a problem.
If you don't want to have to talk to your employer about getting off
right,
at lunch, right.
right?
You know, I love that you're doing that. That's a wonderful
mm-hmm.
option. Well, Adam Mason, LPC at Refuge Counseling of Arkansas and Arkadelphia, how can our listeners get in touch with you?
Sure. You can definitely access our website. It's www.refugecounselingar.com. That's refugecounselingar.com. Or they can call our office. The number is 870 293-2054 and speak with our administrative assistant, and we'll get your information. And you can usually get a call back from a therapist within 24 hours, business hours. And so we try to make it as easy as possible and as accessible as possible for you. And we do online counseling, like you were talking about, that telehealth, and also in office.
And after hours, weekends, take most insurances.
We do.
Do private pay. Some people aren't comfortable billing insurance for mental health, you know, and prefer to pay. So that's an option as well.
And that's absolutely true. And we'll work with people a little bit on if there is a challenge with the payment. We'll try to help people out and work with people as we can. So
wonderful. Thanks so much, Adam.
Thank you for having me again. It's been a great time.
Until next time.
All right. Sounds great.
Thanks for listening to Healthy Hot Springs from the Razorback Campercell Studios. Join us every Wednesday as we discuss a different topic related to keeping hot springs healthy.